Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick. In a few minutes, I'll be joined by David Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute. But before Dave and I begin our conversation, a short interview I conducted with Tom Brucka from the Thomas More Society. Thanks to the efforts of the Springfield Nativity Scene Committee, the Thomas More Society, Illinois Family Institute, and some private contributors, a nativity scene is on display in the State Capitol Rotunda in Springfield. It'll be there through Christmas, and there's a story behind it, and here we go. Thomas Brucka is the president and chief counsel of the Thomas More Society, and the Thomas More Society very active in the annual nativity display in the State Capitol Rotunda in Springfield. Thomas More Society underwrites this. Why is it so important for the Thomas More Society to do this?
Well, Monty, it goes back to the importance of Christians exercising their First Amendment rights in a public way. Yes, we worship within the four walls of our churches, but religion is not something you can confine to a church. As Jesus did, we need to go forth and proclaim the truth of his message to all the people. And what better place than the public square of the state of Illinois here in the state capitol rotunda? Is this wrong? No, it's unusual, but it shouldn't be. Political rallies are held here. People come to petition their government for redress of grievances. Well, Christians should come here too and petition people to listen to the message of Christ. It's a free exercise of religious faith, but it's also an exercise of our free speech right. And that is that if you get on your soapbox and preach your politics, no, we also want to get up on our soapbox, figuratively, and preach the gospel message of Jesus, and what better time and occasion to do it than at Christmas?
Well, if Christians don't exercise their free exercise of religion,
right,
it could be taken away.
Well, the easiest way to lose a case in court is not to show up. It's called losing by default. And I think we're guilty of that for too many years. We took things for granted. This is a Christian country founded by folks who were students and worshipers, biblical honoring folks. We just took it for granted. And the other side, those who are, for reasons we don't need to address, hostile to the message of Jesus, they were working hard, and the forces of secularism, if you want to call them that, secured footholds. Now, those footholds we can live with, but we should not misunderstand them. The fact that government cannot endorse religion does not mean that citizens, private citizens as we are, can't come and proclaim it as loud and as ardently as ever. And unless we do that, we're going to lose our free speech rights too. So I think this is a step back in the right direction to bring the centrality of the Christian faith in the culture of this country, to bring that back to the forefront. I think it's overdue.
This is the ninth annual display of the nativity scene here at the State Capitol Rotunda. Have there been some legal problems along the way to make this happen?
Well, Monty, the legal problems happened in Daley Plaza in Chicago. A young lawyer, Jennifer Neubauer, who had been our chairman for years, no longer so, but you know, the nativity in Chicago had been in the city hall, right where the corridors meet in the center, in the heart of the city hall and county building in Chicago. It was owned and sponsored by the Plasterers Union. But unfortunately, city workers used to put it up, take care of it, store it, and so government was involved. And the ACLU attacked, and they won. This was government involvement with religion. So that was held unconstitutional. It's too bad, but that battle was lost. But a fellow named Grootsmacher decided to put one up in Daly Plaza. He went in for a permit. He was awarded a permit. Once the nativity was erected there, somebody complained that this was wrong, and they came down from the building department with crowbars to dismantle the stable and carry away the figures. So Filkes came and defended the statues and the stable, and Jennifer ran to a federal court and got an injunction entered. There shall be no discrimination on Daly Plaza against religious speech. If you can have a political rally there, as often happens, then you can have a religious ceremony there, and you can have a nativity scene. We took that same theory down here to Springfield, and there was a little hesitancy, of course, but we pointed out what happened in Chicago. And indeed, the ACLU came out and said, we agree, they have a right to free speech.
And the ACLU.
Yes, indeed. You know, it's the free speech angle that they can't argue with that. That's their reason for existing. And we have as much a right to free speech as do the atheists. You know, in fact, free speech came from, I would argue, a Christian tradition, you know, because we have itinerant preachers and they were suppressed and persecuted and we stood up for their right to preach. And I think that's a fixture in our Christian tradition.
Now, you'd like to see these nativity scenes all over the country, every town, every hamlet, every city.
Well, we're blessed to have an anonymous benefactor. We have this is the Springfield Nativity Scene Committee here in Springfield, but we have an American Nativity Scene Committee who's anonymous benefactor. I'm dying to tell people who she is, but I can't do that. Provides nativity sets to anybody in the United States willing to accept shipment, take responsibility for putting it up, taking it down, monitoring it, in the town squares, in the public marketplace of any town, village, or hamlet in America. We focus on state capitals, but that's not a limitation. And we've succeeded so far in putting them up in Nebraska, Michigan, Mississippi, Florida, Georgia. This year, I'm happy to say, as I did earlier during our ceremony here, we're putting one up in the State House in California.
California.
Sacramento.
Of all places.
Yeah, deep blue California. Well, it's kind of blue here in Illinois, too, but, you know, not to mix politics with religion, Monty, but there is a certain parallel there, isn't there? Anyway, also, we're going to have one in Iowa, and the governor of Iowa, Governor Branstad, is coming to that ceremony, I think coming up in a week or two, along with religious figures. So, and you know, if we had more time and resources, we could probably, I think, prevail in all 50 states. Another one is Providence, Rhode Island. But why not Boston? Why not Albany, New York? The First Amendment free speech guarantee applies all across the country. And when people say no, they said no in Missouri, but they said you can't have it overnight. So we said, all right, we'll put one up and leave it up for four or five hours. Choirs and worship groups come during that one day, and they have their say. And we have a day in Columbia like we had here in Springfield.
Well, if people would like to get involved in this, getting a nativity display up in their community, should they contact the Thomas More Society?
Well, contact us, and we'll put them in touch with our client, the American Nativity Scene Committee. It's a little late this year. I think we have a week left to ship, because they have to make these sets up and then ship them. And then
you can plan for next year.
Well, or come talk to us, and we'll get you set up for next year. And contact the local authorities and make sure that it's they understand the free speech right that's involved here and get it going.
Do you think, just judging by the outcome of the vote in the presidential election and the state house races and whatever, that the American people are tired of political correctness and they want to express their right to worship outside the four walls of their church?
Yes, I think so. And, you know, we're a non-political, you know, but I think we may have some difficulties with the president, the forthcoming administration, too, I think it's a challenge to make sure now that we cash in on the hope and the promise that there'll be a new dawn and of respect for religious faith. Yes, I think there was a resounding call that something is wrong when the people in Washington said that civil rights must prevail over religious freedom. Excuse me, religious freedom was our first civil right. So something got skewed up in Washington, and yes, I think the change is one that's full of hope, but let's make sure that we don't just take it for granted again and lose by default. We got to make sure that our voices are heard now more than ever.
Thomas Brekka with the Thomas More Society, God bless you and Merry Christmas.
And to you too, Merry Christmas. No more of this happy holiday, although this is the holiday tree behind me. Another reason why it's wonderful to have the Nativity here, the real meaning of Christmas. Thanks, Monty.
God bless.
God bless.
Dave and I will begin our conversation after this.
People are talking a lot about healthcare these days. There are so many changes, so many questions. As Christians, where can we turn for answers? At Samaritan Ministries, we believe the answer is in Jesus Christ, working in the lives of His people, demonstrating Christian community by sharing each other's medical needs, scripturally, faithfully. Here's just part of Brett's story in his own words.
When I reflect on Samaritan Ministries, the biggest thing that stands out to me is that we, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. It has a profound impact on people like me and my wife.
Brett is just one of over 200,000 members who are sharing over $23 million in medical needs each month. If you'd like to experience what it's like to partner with other Christians for your healthcare needs, and you'd like to see what other members are saying, visit MySamaritanStory.org.
Dave, what a wonderful work the Springfield Nativity Scene Committee is doing. The display of the Christ child, Mary and Joseph, right there in the Capitol Rotunda.
Right smack dead in the middle of the Capitol.
The heart of Illinois government.
Yep.
Where citizens and lawmakers are sure to see it.
Oh my goodness, what a testimony to have that nativity scene there smack in the dab of what many people would say is the lion's den, right? Yes, there's a lot of bad things that go on at the state capitol. There are a lot of nefarious folks walking those hallways. But you know, what a great little testimony and a reminder to people of the Christian faith, the start of the Christian faith, right? And the Savior who was born, who gave us liberty. Unbelievable freedoms.
You know, I can't help but think that some of these lawmakers who have gone astray are maybe having to reflect back to their youth when maybe they heard message.
That's a great point, too. I mean, it might be a little bit of a convicting scene to walk by there and be reminded of the standards and the principles of the Word of God. By looking at a representation of the birth of the Son of God.
And maybe that message, the message of hope, will sink in, and these lawmakers will say, you know, I got to look after the needs of the poor.
Yep, let's hope so. Not just that, but the issues of morality when it comes to expanding gambling and preying on the poorest of them, or raising taxes, taking more from the people of Illinois, or you know, whatever it is, what we're teaching in our public schools, our government schools, what we're allowing on our you know, as far as medicine when it comes to marijuana. I mean, there's a lot of things to be concerned about in this state.
You know, here's another thing I noticed at the nativity scene ceremony there in Springfield. Some of the workers, state workers, and the lobbyists passing through the halls there of our government, they didn't stay for the ceremony, but they passed by, and I noticed some of them, while the Christmas carols were being sung,
yeah,
they joined in.
Yes.
And, you know, it warmed my heart, okay?
Yeah. No, I bet. You know, the fact that this Christmas spirit is contagious is a good thing, isn't it?
Right.
It's a good thing, getting people in the spirit. And maybe they don't really realize when they're singing those Christmas carols, but it's about the baby Jesus, right? The baby Jesus who came to save us from, well, the shackles and the chains of sin. So praise God.
But here's the other thing, though, about that nativity scene in Springfield. There's one in Daly Plaza that Mr. Brekka referred to.
That's right.
Those don't happen unless somebody steps up.
That's right. That's
right. And says, you know, we got to do this.
This is a public square. This is a packed, taxpayer-funded place. And we have every right to be able to put up some kind of a display like this. Now, of course, atheists have their rights as well. In fact, they have, in the years past, I don't know if they still do it, Monty, but they used to have a little sign in there saying that, you know, belief in God is unreasonable. You know, it was more elaborate than that, but they have a little sign there next to the nativity scene, basically professing their unbelief.
Well, you know, and one of the downsides to the nativity scene there in Springfield was the holiday tree.
Yep.
That bugs me.
It does. But you know what? All these things can stand next to, all right, the little nativity scene there. And I'm okay with that as a Christian, because I think the Christian witness is so much more powerful than that little atheist sign or that nice, beautiful holiday tree, right? And you know, and on that note, I just, you know, want to say something about the fact that, you know, every year many times we come across these stories about the war on Christmas, and how certain stores or businesses are not using the term Merry Christmas, but they're avoiding it, right? Well, you know, I've taken it to a personal level, and have taken the initiative to say, when somebody greets me at a checkout line, for example, with a Happy Holidays, I pause and I look at them kind of curious and say, oh, what holiday are you talking about? Inevitably, they come back with Merry or Christmas, you know? And so, oh, I'll respond, well, Merry Christmas to you. And usually the smile on their face is just amazing. Like, well, yeah, that's exactly, that's the holiday we're talking about, right? But, you know, some liberals will say Hanukkah or something like that, whatever holiday you want. And I say, well, what holiday do you celebrate? And if they say, well, I'm Jewish, I say, well, Happy Hanukkah to you.
And it's so important to get this nativity scene out there on the public square.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says so much about, you know, our faith.
Yeah, our freedom.
And our freedom.
Our freedom. And that is important. We have religious liberty to worship and to exercise our faith freely. That's what the Constitution says. Free exercise of religion. It's not like what Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama have said in the past, and some of these people like Ed Yanka with the American Civil Liberties Union, who will say, you have the freedom of worship. Now, why is that important, that distinction, the freedom of worship versus the free exercise of religion? Well, freedom of worship is confined to your own home, to your own mind, and to your own church building. They don't want us out in the public square exercising our faith or reminding them or maybe convicting them of the truth. They rather us be confined to these little areas. But the Constitution of the United States, the First Amendment, tells us that we have the guaranteed right of free exercise. And I think people really need to understand that. Free exercise. That means I'm not to be coerced into giving abortion referrals or being banned from helping a minor child with unwanted same-sex attraction or gender identity order. Free exercise. And that's something that really has been lost. Can I tell you a story real quick,
sure.
Monty? You know, a few years ago, for multiple years, I was invited down to Jones College Prep, right across from Harold Washington Library in the heart of the city of Chicago, right off of Congress Parkway. And they, this one professor invited me to come in and give a Christian view of life and marriage. And the next day he would invite somebody from the ACLU to give an opposite view. And then he would do this for gun rights and gun control advocates and immigration people and border control people, which is, I think, isn't that brilliant?
Well, fairness.
It's fairness. Give both sides to these high school advanced placement, you know, history and government students. So anyway, it's interesting that year after year, one of the students would ask me about the separation of church and state, basically asking, well, you can't bring your faith into the public square because, well, we have this thing called separation of church and state. Now, I would answer them in two different ways. First of all, separation of church and state is not in the Constitution, and a lot of people are misled by, well, liberal pundits who want you to believe that that phrase is in the Constitution.
You hear it so often that you believe it.
Listen, I have a 70-year-old relative who was a school teacher for years. She's a conservative, and she even said to me one day, well, that's in the Constitution, Dave. And I said, no, it isn't. And her face looked at me, and I said, really? I'm serious. I'm not telling you a lie. It's not in the Constitution. She says, oh, but I've been told for all these years, and no, it's not there. But anyway, what I would answer these students is, look, why is your opinions valid in the public square and mine aren't? Just because mine are religiously informed. Your secularly informed views are okay in the public square, but mine isn't? They wouldn't have an answer for that. Of course, my views are religiously informed, but they should be able to compete in the public square next to the atheist, next to the humanist, next to the communist, right? We should be able to compete in the public square with our ideas freely and not just exclude one because, well, that's Bible-based. Well, if we're going to exclude laws based on or policies based on, well, that's in the Bible. Well, we're going to have to do away with a lot of our criminal laws, aren't we?
Yep. Well, we want to get our message out into the public square, and one way we can do that, Dave, is for folks to join us in some year-end giving.
Oh, absolutely. Illinois Family Institute needs your support, especially at this time of the year, because our budget for 2017, as we go into the new year, is going to be based on what we're able to raise during this time period. So if you're able to join thousands of others to give $25, $50, $100, you know, I like to use the phrase, many hands make light work. Well, many contributions add up, many small contributions. So, well, small being 25, 50, you know, hey, if you're able to give 50,000, give me a call. I'd love to talk to you. But otherwise, I mean, most of our support comes from families, working families who can do, you know, a small amount here and there. So put us on your Christmas list and support us.
And our phone number is
708-781-9328.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And thanks for joining us here on Illinois Family Spotlight. Dave, a word of encouragement.
Absolutely. Thought we'd close out with a verse from Galatians. Galatians 5, verse 1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Freedom is in Christ. Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.